Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Steve Hankins, Dean of the BJU Seminary. The title of his message is God's Word, the Secret to Surviving and Thriving in Spiritual Warfare. The text is from John chapter 8, verse 32. Well, here we are again. After 4 years and another presidential race, could there possibly be a greater study in contrast than what we're facing in this political season? We have on the one hand a senator who is the oldest nominee for the presidency, and on the other hand a younger African-American first-time nominee for the presidency. John McCain is pro-life. Obama is pro-choice. Senator McCain is a man of a long life of government and military service, distinguished. Obama has given us an amazing example of the possibility of a sudden and meteoric rise in political fortunes due to our times and his political savvy and charisma. There's a lot to capture our interest, but I don't think there really is anything about all of the political conflict that is more compelling and arresting than a 5.5-year period in the personal history of John McCain, during which he spent those years in a POW camp in Hanoi, North Vietnam, from 1967 to mid-1973. He was a young man. He was shot down on his 23rd bombing mission, flying in low over Hanoi. He ejected from his jet. In the process, fractured both arms and a leg, landed in a lake, was drugged from that lake and beaten by an angry mob. He was subsequently imprisoned in several prisons and ended up in the infamous POW prison called derisively the Hanoi Hilton, where during the first year he experienced fairly favorable treatment because his father was known to be a Navy admiral with great authority in the war in that region. He was offered early release, which he refused because of the Army Code of Conduct for Prisoners of War, which demanded release in order of imprisonment. And because he refused that favor, he spent 4.5 more years in prison, during which he experienced unspeakable torture and abuse. His story is one of being beaten mercilessly, day in and day out, week in and week out, on one occasion being beaten literally around the clock for an entire week, being hung by one of his broken arms, which was never set properly. He lived in a dark, dank cell in a cell block that had one light bulb. He wasn't given adequate food or adequate clothing. And for 3.5 years, he spent his time in solitary confinement. Driven to despair, on 2 occasions, he attempted to hang himself. Unsuccessfully, he was cut down and beaten more by his captors. Amazingly, he never betrayed his country. He received the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, and the Distinguished Flying Cross upon his release from his imprisonment. There are many, many lessons to learn from that horrific, tragic, yet triumphant story. One of them is that prison in North Vietnam for POWs was a very, very bad place to be. Your enemy, Satan, wants to imprison you and enslave you as Christ's soldier in a spiritual Hanoi Hilton and beat and torture you mercilessly. A prison made of your own sin and your own selfishness. But there is a way to avoid that. To not only avoid it, survive it, and thrive. The Word
is the secret to surviving and thriving in spiritual warfare. Now let's ask and answer a question this morning for a minute. What is really essential for your life? Immediately, words come to your mind about physical life. God has in His Word used those physical essentials as metaphors, pictures of what is spiritually essential for you to survive and thrive in your spiritual life as you draw life from the revelation of God. I want to look at some of those pictures, those analogies, those metaphors that are presented in the Bible, and I want to begin with one of those essentials of spiritual survival and thriving that's found in John 8, if you'll turn there in your New Testament right now with me to this chapter. The Lord Jesus was preaching in the temple, teaching in the temple, and many Jews had believed. And there's a statement here in this chapter which gives us the first of these analogies, these metaphors, out of which will rise several other essentials, metaphors that teach us how something physical demonstrates or illustrates something spiritual we derive from the revelation of God that allows us to survive and thrive in spiritual warfare. We're going to look at the first of these because it's basic, it's foundational, and the others really rise out of it like a symphony of God's truth. And I want us then, after looking at this, to listen to that symphony from many places in the revelation of God, since God in His wisdom has in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in many books, presented revelation about these analogies, these illustrations concerning what is essential to you surviving and thriving in spiritual warfare through the Word. Look with me at verse 31 and 32 for the first of these analogies. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, He's speaking to believers, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's why I mentioned what happened to John the King. Because it's a picture. It's a picture of the freedom that we're to come to know and experience, the imprisonment and enslavement that we are to avoid that comes from living in sin and living in a self-centered way. True Christian liberty is a life lived avoiding sin. It's a life that is free from the effects or consequences of sin. It's a life that is free to eat spiritually and drink spiritually and prosper spiritually and know protection from harm spiritually. It all begins with this freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll be released from the potential imprisonment of your own sin and your own selfishness. That is, if you daily, as the text says, looking at verse 31, if you continue in My Word, if you remain or abide in My Word, this is a constant abiding, a constant attention to the revelation of God and the taking of it in, obedience to it on a faithful basis. That gives you confidence that you, in fact, are a child of God and you have the favor of God. As the verse states, then are ye My disciples indeed, in truth. You know that, you're certain of that, because you're abiding in obedience to the revelation of God, and God affirms by His favor toward you the freedom that you enjoy, that you, in fact, are one of His disciples. You are My disciples indeed. This freedom is true if yours is an in-depth experiential knowledge of the revelation of God. Look again at verse 31. Then are ye My disciples, it says, if ye continue in My word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That knowledge is an experiential knowledge that comes from putting feet to the truth, putting the truth to work in your life through obedience. That is the truth that frees, that liberates, that gives you what you need as a Christian to be released from the imprisonment and enslavement of your own sin and your own selfishness. The expert mountain climber scales mountains like Everest and other mountains because he understands all the laws of mountain climbing, laws that he must abide by if he wants to survive and thrive and reach the pinnacle, the top, the crest of that mountain. A surgeon, when he steps into the surgical theater, is free to do what he does because he understands the principles and the practices of performing surgery, and so he is at liberty to do immediately what he has to do in that surgical setting. An Army Ranger who goes out against the enemy understands the laws of stealth and evasion and survival, and so he can do for his country what he needs to do in a time of spiritual warfare or battle. And name the field you're training for, be it teaching or law or medicine or engineering or any avenue and lie of life, and it is the person who gains a command of the laws of that profession who is most free. So it is in spiritual warfare. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, once you're free, once you're out of the dark, dank prison enslavement of your own sin and your own selfishness, which believers can come into, it was believers Christ was speaking to. He was warning with this statement. You then are free to walk out of that cell block with the single bulb and step out into the light and enjoy the blessing of the light. The second metaphor used in Scripture and the beginning of the symphony of truth that rises out of the Bible from these metaphors, having established that foundational concept of freedom. You step out into the light. You know, deprivation of physical light can cause a loss of vision. It can cause a loss even of emotional stability. It certainly can cause a loss of direction. You can get lost in a very, very dark place. But the light of the revelation of God is a light that brings hope to believers in the midst of discouragement. In the famous Psalm 19 that David wrote concerning revelation, in the opening verses, six of them, he speaks of God's revelation through creation. And then in verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, he talks about revelation supernaturally from the Word of God. Dr. Minnick alluded to that passage last week. And in that list of the descriptions of the revelation of God, there is an interesting statement. It says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." That means, men and women, it brightens the eyes. When you see somebody whose eyes are drooping, are dull, what does that tell you usually? They're discouraged. They're unhappy. Literally, the revelation of God is stated in this case as that which will bring emotional stability into your life. And this is precisely what Paul meant when he said in Romans 15, verse 4, that the Word of God, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and good hope may have comfort through the Scriptures. This is the words of Psalm 119, 143, the very same idea. David certainly knew difficulty and trouble in his life. And he said, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, yet thy commandments are my delights." When life does not meet up with your expectations, your dreams, your hopes, it is the revelation of God that will infuse your soul with the hope that brings joy and lifts the spirits to go on and to serve for the glory of God in spiritual welfare. This is God's antidote for depression, for discouragement, for despair. And your emotional roller coaster of life that may come upon you when you face difficulty and stresses may really be in part attributable directly to the fact that the antidote for that problem is not being taken in sufficient dosages to deal with that emotional instability. It is the Word of God written aforetime that is intended to give us good hope and comfort to delight our souls. This light also gives us moral and spiritual discernment, understanding. Delivers us from darkness in a spiritual sense. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple, to the undiscerning." That is critical, men and women, because Ephesians 5 tells us in verse 11 that we are to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. We're told that it's especially critical because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 teaches us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the forces of darkness in this world. We are dealing with malicious spiritual forces who propagate moral and spiritual falsehood and darkness. And we need the revelation of God to shine in upon our souls that we may follow that light in our thinking and combat the falsehood and combat the temptation, the wrong inclinations that come in like a creeping darkness on our own inner man. This light is a light that will give you clarity in choices rather than confusion. What am I going to do? What job am I going to have? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? How am I going to make plans for next semester with the finances like they are? And confusion rises up in your soul. You need light. Darkness can be a scary thing. Confusing thing. In Kentucky, there's a place called the Mammoth Caves National Park. It's 70 square miles of limestone caverns down into the earth. And down there you'll find stalactites and stalagmites and underground lakes and rivers, and they've lighted it beautifully. But when those lights go out, it is absolutely pitch dark and you cannot see your hand 2 inches in front of your face. If you got lost in those caverns in the dark, you would be doomed. Doomed to wandering. And I've known people like this, with no direction, in confusion, terrible frustration, paralyzing desperation because they are confused about their choices. How much better, how far better is Psalm 36:9, which says, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light." You know, in the battle, if you own the night because of night vision goggles, you have won the fight. And men and women, we own the light. We have the vision. In this world and in this life, which is a dark place and a night, without question, we have light, as Psalm 119:105 says. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now we're freed by the word to survive and thrive. We have light to know what to do, where to go, how to discern, so we can survive and thrive in this spiritual warfare. But being released from the prison, we can also know the necessary strength from the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. God uses two examples, two illustrations or metaphors for His Word about how central the revelation of God is for nourishing our souls and having the strength that we need in our inner man. The Word is to be our daily food for our soul. You have to eat to survive and thrive, don't you? Of course. You know it's possible for people to go 8 to 12 weeks without eating before they die? But long before that death, there's serious malnutrition. There are the terrible effects of weakness and debilitation and uselessness of starvation that comes upon the person. No wonder the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Apostle Paul confirmed this concept in 2 Corinthians 4:16 when he said, "But though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day as we take in the revelation of God." This is precisely what David was talking about in Psalm 119:103, when he said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And the Lord Jesus confirmed the essential nature of the Word of God as food to nourish us when he said in John 6:63, "The words that I give unto you, they are spirit and they are life." But even more critical than that, men and women, is the fact that the illustration and example of water is used to communicate to us about the essential nourishment we need from the revelation of God. You know, physical dehydration can come very quickly and be an extremely dangerous thing. This summer I took a 30-hour airplane ride to a foreign country that was a very dry place. Within 48 hours, I began to feel dizzy, weak, and listless. My temperature began to rise. I became extremely nauseated. My blood pressure dropped dangerously. I was severely dehydrated. It took 16 hours of sleep and constant intake of water to revive me and get me back to normal. You see, water is critical for cushioning and protecting your organs. It lubricates your joints. It carries nutrition to your cells and oxygen to your cells. It helps you remove waste from your body. It is absolutely essential for daily health and life. Day one or day two without water, and you can get dizzy and you can get woozy and nauseated and not be what you need to be. And in 7 to 10 days, you're dead without water. Listen to the spirit of the psalmist in 119 when he says in 131, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." If we're to survive and thrive, we have to be precisely what Psalm 1 says in 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf shall not wither, and he shall bring forth his fruit in season, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper." How? Why? He's planted by the river of the revelation of God. That's why. In contrast to the influence, the unwholesome influences of human philosophy and behavior. Freedom. Light, food, water, and to survive and thrive, you need protection. And the Word of God will give it to you. We're provided a shield, a hiding place by the revelation of God. The psalmist says that in 114 of 119, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy commandments." Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And men and women, it is faith, Ephesians 6 tells us, that is the shield by which we quench the flaming arrows, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Your trust and hope in God ascends as your focus on the revelation of God intensifies. And even better than that, we're provided with an offensive, defensive weapon. Not only a hiding place and a shield when we're under attack by the enemy, we are given in our hands a sword. Twice over, the Bible is described this way. A 2.5 foot long Roman sword with two edges used in hand-to-hand combat close up by those in the Roman legion. And we are to use the sword of the revelation of God to fight against, at times, even our own rationalizations and self-deceptions. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says,
is quick. It is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And though our heart may be deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, we can understand it, we can repent of those wickednesses, we can reject those things and follow the right way by using the sharp word of God to lay bare our own soul, our own rationalizations, our own thoughts, and we can correct our lives. And when we're faced with the onslaught of the evil one and his attacks, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17 says, as part of our armor as Christian people. In this materialistic and hedonistic and sensual age we live in, men and women, the revelation of God is our weapon to fight against the giants of these iniquities. 1 Samuel 17, David said when Goliath came out and taunted the armies of Israel, send out a champion to fight against me. This was a man over 9 feet tall who had a spear, the shaft of which was like a weaver's beam. He was a giant, literally, an intimidating figure. And David, as a 17-year-old man, ran out to meet that man. And he said, today, I will feed your bodies to the birds of heaven because you've defied the armies of the living God. And he let that stone go and it buried itself in his forehead. The giant fell. David went and jumped on him, the text of Scripture says, pulled out the sword and cut off his head and held his head up in victory. And the armies of Israel rallied, had a great rout that day and a tremendous victory. And after that they sang, David has slain his 10,000s. This is the David who wrote Psalm 119, the greatest chapter in the Bible on the revelation of God, who loved the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And he knew what it was to have a sword in his hand. And so must you. Only the Word frees us from the imprisonment and enslavement of our sins. Only the Word gives us light in the darkness. Only the Word gives you the nourishment that you need. Only the Word provides you the protection you must have to survive and thrive in spiritual warfare. You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Steve Hankins, Dean of the BJU Seminary. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.